Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the 2016 Bronze Lens Film Festival.
Coming up on this edition of Upfront, independent filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper stops by to talk about her new passion project, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice, which plays at this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival. James Bronner, show director of the 2016 Bronner Brothers International Beauty Show, chats about the business behind the beauty, and reality star Lisa Nicole Cloud, whose fashion collection will be debuting at this year's Bronner Brothers, is also here to talk about that and more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting has an open casting call for Lee Daniels' new Fox series, Star, featuring Queen Latifah and Benjamin Bratt, on Sunday, August 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at the North DeKalb Mall. They are looking for up-and-coming urban artists who are young, attractive, and fashionable, and club girls with full hair, makeup, and club attire. Central Casting is also looking for upscale Washington, D.C. professionals, festival goers, and old colonial style artists for its open casting call for the Fox drama Sleepy Hollow. That casting call will also take place at the North DeKalb Mall Sunday, August 14th from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Information for both casting calls are available at centralcasting.com. Lauren Lake's Paternity Court Season 4 is looking for audience members for its daytime court TV show. Taping is currently underway in Atlanta now through September. Information is available at hiltoncasting.com/audience. That's hiltoncasting.com. In other related entertainment news, the one-hour hit series Underground is moving its production from Louisiana to Georgia. The show, which follows a group of slaves on a daring 600-mile escape from a Georgia plantation, was a huge success for the Chicago-based network WGN and stars Aldis Hodge, Journey Smollett-Bell, and Christopher Maloney. The series will return to Wednesday nights in 2017. And congratulations to Atlanta's own Tyler Perry. He has a new show coming to the TLC network on Monday, August 22nd. The series tells the story of a young woman who escaped her working-class upbringing to discover unparalleled success in the fast-paced D.C. political circuit. Too Close to Home stars Heather Locklear and Matt Battaglia and was shot on location in Atlanta at Perry's new studios. Too Close to Home debuts on Monday, August 22nd at 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. That's today's Casting Buzz. I'm Reva Blue. You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
80 years ago, track and field icon Jesse Owens represented the United States of America at the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin, Germany. Owens not only won 4 gold medals, but he totally defied Hitler's radical theory of Aryan supremacy and the belief that German athletes were superior to their African-American counterparts. In one leap, Owens became an international star and would be referred to as perhaps the greatest and most famous athlete in track and field history. A biopic about his life was released in February of this year, titled Race, and starred budding actor Stephon James. But Owens wasn't the only black athlete who achieved Olympic success at the Berlin Games. 17 other African-American men and women represented the United States, and award-winning filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper is here to tell us their untold story through her newest film, Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. Good morning, Deborah, and welcome to Upfront.
Good morning, Ray. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm so excited to talk about this project. My film actually takes us back 80 years to the Olympics of 1936, and the documentary is called Olympic Pride, American Prejudice. And it traces the story of these 18 African-American, 16 men and 16 women. And most people, as you mentioned, think about Jesse Owens for the 1936 Olympics. But there were 17 more African-Americans, and they all won hearts and medals in the middle of Nazi Germany. And the irony and the paradox of this story is they represented America in Germany when they couldn't even be full citizens in America.
So why are we just now hearing this story? I mean, we're all familiar with Jesse Owens, you know, breaking records and winning the 4 gold medals, but we've never heard of these, you know, 17 others who accompanied him on this trip.
And it's really interesting because When they all went on the boat, there were 18 of them. They all had zero medals. Wow. So it was all democratized, you know, on any given blow of that whistle, any of them could have won a medal because they were the best athletes in the world, including the two women, Tidyanne Pickett and Louise Stokes. But there was propaganda on both sides of the Atlantic. Of course, we're very familiar with the German propaganda.
Right.
But on the American side, there's propaganda as well. So the idea of taking one, you know, sometimes we give the African-Americans one hero.
Right.
And you get that one.
Right.
And that's all you get. And that's part of what this story is about. Unpacking this idea of exceptional one. Because in the media and in the propaganda, it was Jesse versus Hitler. So you had this African-American who had defeated the Germans. This is great propaganda as you're moving into war. So if the African-American, if the Negro can defeat the Aryan, certainly our troops can.
Right.
But if you look at telling the story of 18 exceptional, dynamic, graceful, super smart African-Americans, that dismantles something else. That dismantles not only Aryan supremacy, it dismantles Jim Crow.
Right.
So we weren't ready to dismantle Jim Crow at that moment.
The final of the 400 meters. And here it is. Brown's in the outside lane there. Next to him, Williams, the American Negro. Brown's going well, but he's leaving it too late. That Negro's dangerous. Going into the bend. Williams will drive it home before they get into the straight. Brown's got to fight for it now. The Negro's got him. 20 yards from the straight. Williams is ahead. He's going away. Brown looks big. There's Roberts and Lavelle on the inside. Lavelle's going strong. Roberts is challenging him, but Williams leads. He'll do it. No, look. Brown's sprinting. Best Williams of America. Here's Lavelle, very happy to have taken third place.
That sent chills through my body when I heard that because it was like, wow, you've never heard that. I had never heard that before. So,
Ray, that is one of the most profound pieces of archival footage in the film because it really helps us understand the relationship and the dynamics that these 18 athletes had to compete in. And that wasn't a German announcer.
Right. Oh, wow.
That was an English-speaking announcer.
Okay.
So they were operating in severe circumstances. They had Jim Crow on one side. They had Nazi Germany on the other side. And they're in the middle. And they had to perform at the highest levels. They won 8 gold medals. Not Jesse, but they won 8 gold medals.
Right.
And Jesse Owens is a phenomenal athlete. But what we want to show is that he was not alone, as many of the theories and legends have portrayed. There were 18 athletes from Berkeley, from Marquette, Ohio State, mm-hmm. University of Chicago. Louise Stokes was in high school.
I was going to say there were two African-American women,
yes,
as a part of this collective group.
Absolutely. So yeah. Think about in 1936, one young woman from the south side of Chicago, one young woman from Boston, getting on the SS Manhattan and sailing to Berlin alone.
Wow.
The resolve, the courage, the heart to be able to take that journey and to compete against the world's best.
That was phenomenal for that time.
Phenomenal.
And very and also unheard of at that time.
It was unheard of.
Yeah.
And Tidy Pickett's grandmother had to debate seriously as to whether or not to let Tidy go.
Now, we're talking about a situation that happened 80 years ago. But when you look at what's happening in America right now, the racial tension is high. We have African-American athletes that are going over to Rio or that are currently in Rio serving or taking part in the Olympics. And so do we make any progression or are we back to, you know, where we were 80 years ago? Because who's to say that, you know, one of those athletes does not come back to the U.S., is driving in his car, gets pulled over by an officer and is somehow shot?
You know, it's an interesting parallel, Ray, and it's such a tremendously significant point that you make because these young African-American men that are currently representing this country in Rio,
right,
they look like Trayvon. They look like all of the lists and all of the men and all of the stories that we've heard.
Right.
When they're in their car, when they're walking and they don't have that medal around their neck, in a jacket that says USA, We don't know how they will be perceived. So that idea of that bias, that implicit bias, is the same bias that existed 80 years ago.
Wow.
Now, there's legislation that exists now.
Right.
That didn't exist then. There are communication tools that exist now that didn't exist then. But there is a dynamic and a relationship between African-American men and law enforcement in the 1930s, which was evidenced in the number of lynchings and beatings and people being dragged out of jails and beat to death by mobs.
Right.
So that police and African-American young men and women, that dynamic exists.
It still exists today, in a sense.
It does exist.
Yeah.
There is still an uncomfortableness as an African-American man when you see the police.
Right. Speaking of men, you have someone that is helping you tell this story. Actor Blair Underwood is executive producing the project, and he's also narrating the project. How did you get him to come on board and help you out with and tell this amazing story?
You know, Blair is an amazing person. He's a student of history. Our line producer, Lacey Barnes, emailed Blair.
Okay.
And Blair responded.
Wow.
He phoned us back after he saw the trailer because he was incredibly moved by it. And it was a story he was unfamiliar with. And as a student of history, he was, you know, like, oh, my gosh, totally taken aback that he did not know this, that he didn't know that Jackie Robinson's brother was on the 1936 Olympic team, that Congressman Ralph Metcalf wrote the Black History Bill, co-founded the Congressional Black Caucus after he had been on the 1936 Olympic team.
Wow.
And that Archie Williams was on the 1936 Olympic team before he was a Tuskegee Airman. So Blair was like, this is a remarkable story about resilience, a remarkable story about our cultural inheritance and what we need to share so that people understand who we are and what we contribute to America. So he said yes.
Well, you're screening the film during this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival as part of the Cinema and Social Justice Sunday. What role has the festival played in the success of this film and you as a filmmaker?
Well, for me as a filmmaker, I have a longstanding relationship with the Bronze Lens. I've been involved with the festival since its beginning. The festival does such a great job of championing Atlanta filmmakers and filmmakers from around the world. They understand the importance of visibility because in so many instances, we're just not seen.
Right.
So they give us the platform to be seen, to be heard, to showcase our work. And I am honored and thrilled to be the film for Social Justice Sunday.
Yeah.
We're honored to actually do it in the museum. You know, it's going to be very special because Ambassador Young is in our film.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
He is in our film.
Okay.
And to be able to see people like Dr. Tommy Smith from the 1968 Olympics, who put the Black Power fist in the air.
Yeah, right.
He's in the film.
Okay.
You know, Dr. Harry Edwards is in the film. Iconic Lonnie Bunch is in the film. Iconic African-American leaders that we may not be familiar with who've done tremendous things are in this film. And what a great place and time to showcase it and have a discussion about what this means and how we use the information we have.
All right. Well, Deborah Riley Draper, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront, and we'll see you at the festival.
Yay. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Ray.
Deborah Riley Draper's Olympic Pride, American Prejudice will make its Atlanta premiere as part of the Bronze Lens Film Festival's Cinema and Social Justice Sunday. Her next project will be a full-length feature film on the Harlem Renaissance.
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
When you think of names that are synonymous with Atlanta's rich cultural heritage, you think of King and Candler, Russell, Jackson, Dobbs, and Young. But there's also another name that represents the jewel of the South, and that is Bronner. For seven decades, the Bronner family has served as pioneers in the hair and beauty industry through their world-renowned Bronner Brothers International Beauty Show. The star-studded event, which takes place next weekend here in Atlanta, August 19th through the 22nd, at the Georgia World Congress Center, features a who's who of hair and beauty leaders, as well as a number of television, music, and reality stars. Here to talk to us about this year's show and the business of beauty is director James Bronner.
Thank you, Ray. Glad to be on Upfront today.
James, let's talk about how the beauty industry, plus the trends in hair, fashion, and makeup, impact what goes on in the world of entertainment.
Today, earlier, I was talking with Beyonce's stylist. His name is Neil Farina. And he didn't know I was going to be on the radio, but he was just talking from his heart. And he was talking about how his creativity with Beyonce, and he was on the Formation tour, and he was talking about being in the White House with her. And he was saying how women were wearing braids, but it really didn't go mainstream until he put them on Beyonce and Lemonade.
So right.
He was talking about how it really changed culture. So that was okay. a great example even today. And the reverse is true. The media also has affected the beauty industry. I can remember The Curl was huge years ago.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
One movie, Coming to America, changed the whole thing. When that guy got up off the sofa and left that stain, I mean, it just wiped curl sales yeah. out.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because I'm thinking, like, who didn't have a carefree curl yeah. or a leisure curl or, yeah. you know, so it was very, very, very popular back in, I mean, Michael Jackson, you know, was
That's
one of the
right.
first mainstream yeah. artists to really wear a Jerry curl, as yeah. they were calling them at that
yeah.
time. So
yeah. Prince. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah right. Cool. You know, we're living here in Atlanta, a city that was recently named number 3 in the film and television production. Is Bronner immersed in that exciting growth as Atlanta continues to expand and we're now called the Hollywood South?
Yes. Stylists, barbers, makeup artists, they all are on sets all across the city every day, making up the stars for TV and movies. So we're definitely not only we have people at the show that are making up those stars daily, but we're also producing content out of the show. So out okay. of this show, next weekend, we have a 1-hour TV special on Centric TV, Our Hair Battle. And we also have an hour episode on Cutting in the ATL.
Okay.
And also an episode of Little Women of Atlanta will be at the show. One
oh,
of the
wow.
many as a stylist. So,
yeah.
so we're actually producing content for
okay.
Hollywood as well out
okay.
of the show.
And that's something new for you guys. I mean, you
yes.
are sort of synonymous with Hair and, of course, Upscale Magazine, but now you're
yes.
sort of venturing into television. So
yeah, that was a vision I had. I mean, the stylists knew about the show, but there were other areas of the country on the, you know, the West Coast that might not have known or some other nations. So that television was a way I saw to expand the brand
right.
I've been having a focus on lately.
Okay. Now, I've heard that a lot of the famous faces that are really big names now in the music industry and also within the hair and beauty industry got their start here at the Bronner Show. Who are some of these people, and do they still participate?
Yes, they do. Actually, one of them is Kim Kimball. She's a star of L.A. Hair.
Yeah,
Dwight Eubanks, who's been all over the Housewives
right.
and other programs. Shekinah Joe. Who does Tiny's hair and on television with her, Derek J and Miss Lawrence, and the cast of Cutting in the ATL. So all of these, they got their start at the Bronner Show, and they still participate with us twice a year.
Yeah, yeah. You have a high standard for the Bronner Brothers Show and have been focused on really giving your attendees a total show experience. What makes Bronner Brothers so different from all of the other hair shows that travel around the country and even around the world?
Okay, well, first of all, we have the foundational things that other shows have with the education, the exhibitors, the competitions. But uniquely, we have exciting night events that really add a lot to the experience of Bronner Brothers and the show.
Right.
So we have comedy shows with, for instance, this time we have Steve Brown and 4 other hilarious comedians. We have a hair battle that is really the Olympics of hair.
Right.
So people come from around the world, the best stylists to put on these theatrics on stage that is really a monumental event. And then we have a fashion show this time, a celebrity fashion show.
Okay.
And it'll have Bavanti, it'll have Candy Burrows, it'll have Cynthia Bailey, and it'll even have your next guest, Lisa Nicole.
Yeah.
So she will be doing a segment in the fashion show, and we're really looking forward to it.
Now, Lisa Nicole Cloud plays a major role in Atlanta being a mecca for entertainment. Not only is she the star of Bravo's hugely popular reality series, Married to Medicine, but she's also a very talented fashion designer. Last February, her Lisa Nicole collection was a featured exhibitor at the Bronner Brothers International Beauty Show. This time around, her line of classy women's wear will be front and center as part of a comedy and fashion show. So Lisa, what was it about the Bronner brand that made you want to come back?
I believe that the Bronner brand is one of excellence. You know, it is definitely a staple within the hair industry. It has been around for years. It has a reputation that supersedes itself. And so the first time I did the Bronner Brothers show, I wasn't sure if fashion would work well in an environment where people were focused on hair and improving their trade and, you know, beauty. But as it turns out, the first time we did the show, it was an amazing experience. We did extremely well, and we realized that hair, makeup, fashion, beauty, they all go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
So it really has opened our eyes to not only do the Bronner Brother hair show, but, you know, any shows that are related to beauty.
Okay.
And so we're excited to be a part of the fashion show. When we were asked, we immediately said yes, and we were honored to be a part of it.
Now, how have you used reality television? You're one of the stars on Bravo's Married to Medicine. How have you used reality television to help bring some light or some acknowledgement to the other platforms that you're involved in?
No, I believe that reality TV is definitely an opportunity to showcase what you really are doing. And myself as a businesswoman, you know, the Lisa Nicole Collection is something I do day in and day out. I also am always focused on the Women's Empowerment Network, and we just launched a new platform called Teach Me to Grow with You, which is a marriage conference, and, of course, my direct sales business. So as you watch me on the show and watch how I interact with my friends, you also see what I do in my day-to-day life with my husband and my family and my kids and my businesses. So I've definitely leveraged the platform to showcase off real entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Now let's talk about, I know you guys are approaching a brand new season of Married to Medicine. Anything you could tell our audience?
Oh my goodness. It's going to be another crazy season.
Okay.
It is definitely an interesting season because there's been some shifts in friendships and alliances and loyalties, and a lot of the ladies on the show are dealing with major life issues.
Okay.
So you're going to get a deeper glimpse at our personal stories and what's going on, as well as the way we interact with one another and navigate through the circle of friends.
Okay. Did you ever think that you would find this type of success living here in the South, in Atlanta?
I've always thought Atlanta was the Mecca for African Americans. I mean, it has always been a city where African Americans have, you know, done very, very well in business. We've done very well in government and politics. We've done just very well across the board. And I love Atlanta. You get an amazing lifestyle and for a great cost of living. It's very reasonable. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all. Did I ever envision that I would be on reality TV?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I was always just focused on my businesses. But as a result of the success that I had in business, they were very drawn to me because I'm on a show about doctors and doctors' wives, and I'm married to a doctor, but I make more money than my husband. And so they thought that was a very interesting twist.
Okay.
When you look at the group of women that I am on the show with.
Now, Lisa, you and your husband have been able to combine both of your passions, your love for fashion and his love for medicine, to bring attention and aid to Haiti. Let's talk about that.
Darren obviously is a clinician. He loves medicine, and for many years he's wanted to do global mission work.
Okay.
And as a clinician, he wasn't necessarily moving that project forward. So I love giving back. I love raising money for great causes. And so I just decided to partner with him on his goal to really raise money to be able to do international mission work. We both believe that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And we also believe that if you're a blessing to other people, you'll be blessed. So Fashion for a Cause is a way of us bringing both of our worlds together. We do a fashion event. And with that fashion event, we raise money via selling the garments, selling tickets to the fashion show, private donations, as well as silent auction. And we've been doing them for the last 2 years in different cities, and they've done extremely well. We've been able to raise enough money to send over $200,000 in medical supplies to Haiti. And
wow.
We also have an initiative where we're reaching out to hospitals across the country to get them to donate equipment that they're no longer using. So it has been a great experience, and, you know, it really feels good to be able to give back and make such a difference.
The Lisa Nicole collection can be seen at this year's Bronner Brothers International Beauty Show, and you can also see her on Bravo's Married to Medicine when the show returns this fall. Coming up on next Saturday's show, Upfront talks to filmmaker Kirk Enriquez about his independent film, Brazilian Wavy, which shows at this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival. He will be joined by one of the film's stars, Jasmine Burke.
So I go to the Bronner Brothers hair show looking for a hair sponsor for my movie, because I need a lot of hair. I meet a hair distributor, and he's very receptive to the opportunities in the film in terms of product placement. He's fully aware of the black dollar and how influential black people are. So, you know, things are going good. And then he says, would you be willing to name the movie Indian Wavy? And I looked at him and I said, you know, why would I do that? Why would I name it Indian Wavy? And I don't know, you know, a lot of people may notice that the hair itself is named after all these different destinations, right? Like Peruvian,
right.
Malaysian,
right.
Afghanistan.
Mongolian.
So you have all these hair brands, right? But I felt like the name and the title should come from a place that embraces their blackness, right? So even though Brazil has, you know, their issues as far as race and stuff like that, they understand their connection to Africa and they embrace it.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank my guest, filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper, James Bronner, show director of the 2016 Bronner Brothers International Beauty Show, and Lisa Nicole Cloud, fashion designer and reality star. I would also like to thank my engineer, Marquis Lofton, and would like to remind you that you can always listen to Upfront on WCLK.com. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the 2016 Bronze Lens Film Festival, August 25th through the 28th, and online at bronzelens.com.